right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, January 27th, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Good morning. Happy Tuesday. Snowmageddon Day. I guess the storm in New York City, from what I've seen in the reports, I have not spoken to family yet, but from what I've seen in the reports, the storm in New York was kind of a bust. De Blasio shut the city down, and it looks like they only got 6 inches or so. But one of our listeners is up in Massachusetts, and he said that they have about 3 feet already, and it's a whiteout blizzard. And actually, looking at the map, it looks like it is bearing straight down on Massachusetts. So hope all you guys stay safe there. It is currently 14 degrees and light snow here in upstate New York. We did get some of the snow from the storm last night. I was up until about just after midnight, and on the map it showed a couple fingers kind of hanging over from the East Coast, and they were right over our region. So it was sort of icy and nasty, but we'll survive here. I feel bad for you guys, though, because, yeah, 3 feet is not fun to dig out from. Hey, I was just listening to Hal, and for anyone who's listened to my show for quite a while, you've heard me talk about how all of my health issues that I've had over the last 15 or 20 years with autoimmune diseases and problems digesting food and whatever. And Hal was actually just talking about that very thing and the prevalence of people having those same issues all throughout our country. And he was talking about the glyphosate, which I'm pretty certain that that's what the issue is, but how they're spraying it on wheat crops to kill them right before harvest. And what's interesting about him saying that is I also wonder, I've seen that happen with the corn as well. You know, they have all these big fields of corn all over the place here. And then the end of the year comes and they don't get harvested. They let them all go dead and then they harvest after they're dead. I wonder if they're doing the same things to the corn. I'm pretty certain, though. You know, he even was talking about the internal inflammation, and that is exactly what would happen to me. It would feel like your entire insides would swell. Like all inside your stomach and your intestines would all be swollen. And, you know, as long as I don't touch that crap and I don't eat a lot of wheat, I try not to eat any processed if possible. I don't eat fast food anymore. I don't eat anything that comes out of a box, you know, short of maybe a few crackers occasionally if I make soup or whatever. But I don't get that issue anymore. So I am pretty certain that it is the glyphosate and the other garbage that they're putting in food, which is a great segue because that's what we're going to talk about today. A few of the things that I want to look back at, though. We've been talking about precision medicine for the last couple days and the State of the Union from last week where Obama announced that and how Obamacare is going to kind of tie right into this. It's going to bring like an unholy alliance between big pharma, the geneticists, the policymakers, the venture capitalists, the FDA, all together to have a hand in your healthcare making decisions for you. And that's not a good thing at all. but in conversations yesterday, talking about genetic modification, we had also brought up back a few years ago a story that had come out in regards to Florida. I think we were discussing Bill Gates and the billionaires, and that's how that came up, about Florida and the genetically modified mosquitoes that at one point they had said they were going to release into the Keys, and everybody flipped out, stood on their chairs, and yelled. So they didn't do it. But then the very next summer, they had this mysterious pterodactyl-sized, not really, but that's what the bug lady said. It was like the size, comparatively, the size of a pterodactyl. Pterodactyl-sized mosquitoes that showed up that didn't get any diseases, ate the larva of the native mosquitoes, and could stab you through your clothing, that attacked fish, dogs, and people. I mean, it was insane. And they just blew in from a hurricane. Oh, really? They just appeared out of nowhere. They had all these details. Well, if there's any such a thing as synchronicity, I had not caught the news before I came on air yesterday talking about all this stuff. And what do I see as soon as I get off air yesterday? Millions of GMO insects could be released in the Florida Keys. Mind you, this is not the story from 2 years ago that we were mentioning. This is a story from January 25th. Millions of genetically modified mosquitoes could be released into the Florida Keys if British researchers win approval to use the bugs against two extremely painful viral diseases. Never before have insects with modified DNA come so close to being set loose in a residential U.S. neighborhood. This is essentially using a mosquito as a drug to cure a disease. We were literally just discussing this yesterday, and we mentioned the malaria goats that Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation had produced and given to African villages. They also had taken these genetically modified mosquitoes and they released them in Australia. There had been a mosquito-borne disease. It was either last year or the year before that was attacking horses. And horses were getting this horrible viral disease that they were dying from. And so they apparently made these mosquitoes that would go then eat the other mosquitoes. I guess the females were barren or something, so they couldn't reproduce. Says this is essentially using a mosquito as a drug to cure a disease, said Michael Doyle, executive director of the Florida Keys Mosquito Control District, which is waiting to hear if the Food and Drug Administration will, and get this, allow the experiment. Now, I've been saying this for a long time. The genie has been let out of the bottle, and these experiments are no longer being done in the lab and the petri dish. They're being done wide open in our environment with no way to control the situation. I mean, what is this? You'd be letting these genetically modified creatures out to see what's going to happen as they could potentially decimate the ecosystem? Oh, what? You put nanotech into our food secretly, and if people ingest them for 10 to 15 years without saying anything, and then have this huge influx of weird autoimmune diseases and go, bah, we don't know. I mean, this is literally what they're doing. And like I've told you before, R&D, research and development, is a line item on the budget. And if the corporation is a public entity, meaning being traded on the stock market, then your first priority is to the stockholders and to make the stockholders money. Well, if your research and development budget is $10 million, and I'm going to tell you, most companies have a huge research and development budget. That's how you stay competitive. That's how you stay in front of everyone else who's competing for the same customers. You have a bigger, a better, a faster, a new and improved product. Well, if you no longer have to spend that $10 million or whatever your budget number is on research and development, because they're allowing it to happen real time in the environment without any type of, I mean, it's just unbelievable. There's no liability here. It's all plausible deniability. And especially if they don't tell us that they're doing it for 15 years, how are you going to sue someone like that for damages? How are you? I mean, the doctors don't even know what's going on half the time. They give you some bullshit answer as to why you're sick, right? But it is probably something that's well known that's been happening for quite a while. So anyway, they're waiting for the Food and Drug Administration to allow the experiment. The Food and Drug Administration, we all know, is bought and sold. We have Michael Taylor from formerly known as an employee of Monsanto, who has just kind of given it all up. You know, nanotechnology has been deemed safe, rubber stamped across the board in food, as has genetically modified ingredients. So they don't have to go through any type of individualized inspection every time they put them into your food. They also, because they are known, at least not from our perspective, but because they are known in the FDA world as safe ingredients, they don't even have to really label them. And we were just reading that the other day. They are, I'm trying to remember what the term was. Something known as safe is what they had, and they had an acronym for that. But they don't have to even label them. They don't have to tell you they put it in there. They could make special changes to it, and you never even have to know, because, you know what, the base unit they deemed as safe. So I am expecting that the FDA is probably going to allow this experiment, but I guess let's wait and see. They're going to blame this on, oh, more hemorrhagic viruses. Well, after the whole Ebola scare, we would be probably now more apt to accept this, won't we? And again, like we were talking yesterday about the whole Ebola agenda, I'm not doubting that there wasn't an outbreak potentially in Africa. I mean, remember, they found the tree with the hole and the infected fruit bats in it. But there's nothing that's going to convince me that this was a natural occurrence versus some sort of bioengineered occurrence. I mean, it just came out of the blue, and, you know, we were able to track it back to one particular tree. I'm going to call bullshit on that. I mean, it was like in three freaking countries in Africa, okay? And you had thousands. I think the last number I saw was over 8,000 people had died from this. But we had looked when Ebola was going on, we had really kind of delved into some of the other hemorrhagic viruses that were out there. And one happened to be that dengue. I call it the dengog, but it's dengue. And the chikungunya. And I remember Pigman had a video about the chikungunya virus. And I'm like, oh my God, that sounds like something we used to make up name-wise when I was a kid. You know, we're going to Cucamonga, chikungunya. So dengog and chika, and maybe it isn't even chikungunya, it's chikungunya. I call it the chikungunya virus. And dengog. Dengog and chikungunya are growing threats in the U.S. And yes, of course, they're blaming it all on global warming because, hey, you know, as it gets warmer. And I think even, didn't we see that in Japan, they had ended up with dengue and they had for the first time in like 70 years and they were blaming it on global warming. So dengue and chikungunya are the growing threats in the U.S., but some people are more frightened at the thought of being bitten by a genetically modified organism. More than 130,000 people signed a change.org petition against the experiment. Yay, Florida Keys. I think you guys better get on that fast, because once that genie's out of the bottle, man, this is danger. I'm telling you, this is very, very, very dangerous. They don't know what the end result is going to be in the ecosystem. And like here in the Great Lakes, they're all freaked out about those, what are those mussels? The invasive species, those mussels that come in on the ships, they attach themselves to the hulls and they travel from the ocean through the Hudson River. And then they end up in the Great Lakes. They're like, oh, they're causing the zebra mussel, I think they're called. They're causing so many issues. We have these invasive species. I think, too, in a few places, there's like these invasive fish that happen to come over on carrier containers from China as well. And they're causing all kinds of havoc in the ecosystem. So why would you take something like a mosquito that is so low at the bottom of the food chain, but it also can spread diseases? I mean, we've talked about Plum Island. We talked about Lyme's disease yesterday. I mean, between ticks and mosquitoes, that's how they think it spread. So why would you bring something genetically modified to quote unquote inject people with freaking vaccination to cure a disease? I mean, this is absolute insanity. All right, I'm going to go back to the story. Even potential boosters say that those responsible must do more to show that benefits outweigh the risks of breeding modified insects that could bite people. And don't think for a minute that Bill and Melinda Gates didn't have anything to do with this. We saw the TED conference back from a few years ago where Billy Gates was up in front talking to people about being able to deliver vaccines through other organisms. And then he joked and said that they had let, and I think they did let mosquitoes go, but I'm sure that they better not have been genetically modified. But he joked and said, we just let a whole bunch of genetically modified mosquitoes go in the auditorium, and people started to flip out. And then he's like, ha, 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 I was only kidding. But he's an evil man. He really is. These are from his brainchild. He's going to vaccinate you whether you want it or not. Even potential boosters say those responsible must do more to show that the benefits outweigh the risks of breeding modified insects that could bite people. Quote, I think science is fine. They definitely can kill mosquitoes, but the GMO issue still sticks as something of a thorny issue for the general public, says Phil Luendibos, who studies mosquito control at the Florida Medical Entomology Lab. Mosquito controllers say they are running out of options with climate change. There you go. And globalization. There you go. Spreading tropical diseases farther from the equator. Storm winds, cargo ships, and I say invasive species, and humans carrying these viruses to places like Key West, the southernmost U.S. city. There are no vaccines or cures for dengue, known as breakbone fever, or chikungunya, so painful it causes contortions. U.S. cases remain rare. Insecticides are sprayed year-round in the Keys, charming and crowded neighborhoods, but and this is going to be the Latin name for biting mosquitoes, and I'm not quite sure how to say this. Aedes aegypti, whose biting females spread these diseases, have evolved to resist four out of the six insecticides used to kill them. But da 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 da. Enter Oxitec. Now, I would like someone, if you wanted to do a little research on Oxitec, because I'm sure we're going to find out that they are involved in lots of other stuff that we're probably already aware of. It's O-X-I-T-E-C. It is a British biotech firm that has patented a method of breeding Aedes aegypti with fragments of genes from, the herpes simplex virus and E. coli bacteria, as well as coral and cabbage. What the... Now, all right, we've talked about this too, right, with the Genome Project, and they sequenced all the humans, and then they're working on the plants, and they've been working on all the bugs. Well, listen, what did they do? They crossed fragments of genes from herpes simplex, and something we found out when we were also researching the Ebola vaccine, the RNAi version, was that herpes was also an RNA virus. There are viruses that literally can get into your RNA. So they are crossbreeding fragments of genes from herpes simplex, which is your cold sore, E. coli bacteria, as well as coral and freaking cabbage. This synthetic, there's another keyword, synthetic end of biological life as we know it, and now it can be patented, DNA, is commonly used in laboratory science, and it is thought, notice that keyword, to pose no significant risks to other animals. But, it does kill mosquito larvae. Oxitec lab workers manually remove modified females, aiming to release only males, which don't bite for blood like females do. The modified males then mate with wild females whose offspring die, reducing the population. Guys, Bill Gates' entire mantra, let's figure out how to do it in the wild to mosquitoes, and then we can apply it other places. Like I've said before, don't think this genome project is to cure us of all disease. That's for the rich fuckers who are working on their longevity project. For us, it's to figure out how to use it on testing. We can be the guinea pigs. And when the time comes, all they got to do is add cabbage and coral, it appears. A little bit of herpes and some E. coli. And our offspring die. I mean, this is crazy. If it's going to do it to one organism, don't think it can't be modified to do it to another with a few little bleeps and bloops. Mix a little pinch of this and a pinch of that and stir it up and there you go. Oxitec has built a breeding lab in Marathon, which I don't know. It doesn't say where Marathon is. Wonder if that's in Key West. And hopes to release its mosquitoes in a Key West neighborhood this spring. If I were in Key West, I would be flipping out right now. Key West isn't cheap either. You pay a lot to live there. FDA spokesman Teresa Eisman said, no field tests will be allowed until the agency has, quote, thoroughly reviewed all the necessary information, unquote. Yes, and the FDA's thoroughly reviewed means slippery palms. Here you go. Company spokesman Chris Kreese said the test will be similar in size in Oxitec's 2012 experiment. What? In the Cayman Islands? Wait a second. Now, if you happen to look at a map where the Cayman Islands are and where Key West is, It's very possible that there have been hurricanes that have blown from the Cayman Islands to Key West, and that was in 2012. They released those mosquitoes. So maybe my entire postulation with the pterodactyl mosquitoes that just happened to show up in Key West, that were immune to everything and ate all the indigenous ones and didn't have disease. Remember, they knew everything all about them, but they mysteriously just showed up and they didn't know where they came from. Maybe they were GMO mosquitoes, because check this out. Company spokesman Chris Kreese said that the test will be similar in size to Oxitec's 2012 experiment in the Cayman Islands, where 3.3 million modified mosquitoes were released over a six-month period, suppressing 96% of the targeted bugs. That's a pretty huge number. 96% effective for taking out offspring. Oxitec said later test in Brazil was also successful, and both countries now want large scale projects. Guys, this is not good. But critics accused Oxitec of failing to obtain informed consent in the Caymans. Oh, you think so? Saying that residents were not told that they could be bitten by a few stray females overlooked in the lab. Instead, Oxitec said only non-biting males would be released, and that even if humans were somehow bitten, no genetically modified DNA would enter their bloodstream. Neither claim is entirely true, says outside observers. And remember that whole informed consent issue. We've seen that a few times now. Bill Melinda Gates Foundation is being sued by India because there were two villages. I'm trying to remember the numbers. It was over like 3,000 girls in each village, and there were two of them that had gotten the Gardasil vaccine very early trials. They had all kinds of health problems after. There were girls that died, ones that couldn't stay awake and passed out, ones that had bleeding issues. And India is claiming that they were never given proper informed consent as to what was going to happen. And then we just saw recently now with the Ebola vaccines that are now happening, the trials on humans are happening after the quote unquote pandemic or outbreak. And we had all these pharmaceutical companies that had, you know, level trial drugs waiting in the pipeline to be tested on humans, but you couldn't test it on humans until you had an emergency. Now there are six human trials going on. One of happens to be in Africa. And we had just heard a report the other day where they are going to provide the Africans a 28-page document to read with all of the information so they can then put an X on it and give their informed consent to get this new RNAi vaccination. And this is absolutely insane. So they did apparently the same exact thing with the vaccines, and we're going to take a look. They did it with the nanotech too. I don't remember ever signing anything saying I wanted to be eating freaking nanotech in my food for the last 15 years. I'm going to finish the story. I am on their side in that consequences are highly unlikely, but to say that there are no genetically modified DNA that might get into a human, that's kind of a gray matter, says Lunibos. Who is Lunibos again? Hold on, let me back up. I had to go to page two. But what clown agency is Lunibos from? How come I don't see that name again? Cayman Islands, Chris Kreese, he's from Oxitec. Was Lunibos from? No, that was Teresa Eisenman, was from the FDA. Oh, was Lunibos from Key West, maybe? I don't know. Someone will have to find it after I drop you the article. I don't see whose name that is. So anyway, Lunibos is all for it, but still, whoever that is says that it doesn't prevent you from getting any genetically modified DNA into your bloodstream. And you know that when you get bitten by a mosquito, of course, they're sucking your blood directly out of you. Kreese says that Oxitec, it's like dirty needles. Kreese says that Oxitec has now released 70 million of its mosquitoes in several countries, and they have received no reports of human impacts caused by bites or from the synthetic DNA despite regulatory oversight that encourages people to report any problems. Are you kidding me? If you went to your doctor and you said, holy shit, doc, I'm so sick, man, and I got bitten by this mosquito, and it was probably one of those genetically modified ones that has synthetic DNA, your doctor is going to be recommending you for some SSRIs and some professional mental help. See, they try to do plausible deniability. Nobody is going to believe you. And when you try to talk truth about this stuff, even your friends and family don't believe you. But when you go to a stranger or someone that's quote unquote official, they're going to put the loop-de-loo look on their face and you're going to get a notation in your file. And the next thing you know, someone's going to be knocking at your door, coming to take your guns. That's how it works. Quote, we are confident of the safety of our mosquitoes as there is no mechanism for any adverse effects on human health. The proteins are non-toxic and non-allergic, says Oxitec. Oxitec should still do more to show that synthetic DNA causes no harm when transferred into humans by its mosquitoes, says Guy Reeves, a molecular geneticist at Germany's Max Planck Institute, and he should know. I'd be believing a molecular geneticist in Germany much more than I would be believing a spokesperson for fucking a pharmaceutical company named Oxitec out of England that's spewing 70 million genetically modified mosquitoes all over the U.S. and the Maritimes. And the FDA, who's butt patting them. Key West, and I will guarantee you, if we look them up, we will be able to find some sort of dotted line back to Billy Gates. Key West resident Marilyn Smith wasn't persuaded after Oxitec's presentation at a public meeting. She says neither disease has had a major outbreak yet in Florida. So, quote, why are we being used as the experiment, the guinea pigs, just to see what happens? Marilyn Smith, you are absolutely right. You win the Cupid doll for awareness today. And that is a good question. You know, when Ebola first came onto the scene as a news headline, we started looking into hemorrhagic fevers and things. And it was weird because they did not mention dengue is a hemorrhagic fever, but it most certainly is. And chickamauga, whatever they call it, I like chickamauga better. Chickamauga was in that same class. I don't think it was as severe, but neither of them really had any treatments. And they were very prevalent down in South America in the warmer latitudes. And though Key West is pretty warm, there were very few sporadic cases showing up. There was a Google map that actually had cases mapped globally. So she's absolutely right. I'm going to drop this to you. This actually came out of ABC News. So like I was saying, talk about weirdness that we were just talking about the story from 2 years ago and how they never released them. And here these assholes are again 2 years later. And now they're getting ready to do it. The pump has been primed with Ebola. And before that, even with the swine flu scare. You get people now cowering in fear when they tell us that there's a threat for some horrible disease. And oh my God, it's hemorrhagic. So you bleed out your nose and your asshole. You better line up and get the vaccine. Oh wait, you don't even have to. Now it's going to be painless. It's going to be mosquitoes killing infected. And whoops, if you get bitten, don't worry about it. I don't know. That should be bothering every single one of you. We'll have to look at this this Oxitec later. I don't really have time to do it. Yeah, Dale's saying chickamauga is dengue. We can dig into that more. I wasn't planning on doing a presentation on those actual viruses, but I looked into them during the Ebola scare. And their hemorrhagic fevers, that even said it causes bones to break. I did not read that beyond this story. That's very possible. But that isn't even the point. The point is it's some disease that they say we're all at threat for. And maybe this is the way they're going to get around the anti-vaxxers, and especially after Bill Gates had done that whole thing of Ted releasing the freaking mosquitoes. I mean, how much more apparent can it get? This is not a game anymore. Hold on. We're going to find something because I'm going to play this. Here it is. Let me connect me because I have to play this. I've talked about this enough times. And Jules. There we go. Add to call. And now it's gonna call me. Here we go. Says it answered. All right. Here we go. So TED conference. I'm not gonna play a real long one. Here's a 1:09 clip.
For example, there's more money put into baldness drugs than are put into malaria. Now, baldness is a terrible thing. And rich men are afflicted. And so that's why that priority has been set. But malaria, even the million deaths a year caused by malaria greatly understate its impact. Over 200 million people at any one time are suffering from it. Means that you can't get the economies in these areas going because it holds things back so much. Now, malaria is, of course, transmitted by mosquitoes. I brought some here so you could experience this. We'll let those roam around the auditorium a little bit. There. There's no reason only poor people should have the experience. Those mosquitoes are not infected.
Did you hear that? Talking about rich men and how they put research into baldness, and not only poor people should have the experience of malaria mosquitoes. It's horrible. And of course, it was all a joke. Ha ha ha. That was from the TED conference in 2009. And now we see there are multiple locations where they have released these GMO mosquitoes for treating diseases that should be very bothersome to you. And remember that one of the big projects that's going on in conjunction with all of this Frankenstein science is the Longevity Project. And here's something that I want to play. There are a couple stories over the last few years where scientists have really been pushing to find what they're calling the elixir of youth. And there's a couple different ways. One of the things, my dad actually came upon this a long time ago, and that was fasting or restricting calorie intake. And there is now huge bodies of evidence that show you can literally reset the biological clock by fasting. And I mean, they've done that in religious rites for a long time. There's, you know, all kinds of holistic medicine that talks about colon cleansing and fasting to get rid of the toxins. So I think there's a lot to that. But these researchers are going way beyond that. Of course, they're messing with DNA and trying to find switches to turn on and off, because that's the new biggest and best thing. And they can make lots of money in precision medicine, which we're still going to get back to. But here, the story came out yesterday. Actually, a few days ago, it was the 24th, PigMind posted a new gene discovery could help extend life by 60%. And of course, you know, they always do these initial tests on fruit flies because their life cycle is so short. But the fruit fly has a very close genome to humans, so that's why they do them on there. So here, let's check this out. I think I'm still connected. No, I'm not.
120 years old.
Hold on, back it up.
If you had the choice, would you like to live until you're 120 years old? If the answer is yes, then this one's for you. Researchers from a Swiss university believe they found a gene that can extend life by 60%. The extra gene, known as AZOT, is thought to kill unhealthy cells in the body. At the moment, the experiment is limited to fruit flies, which have just been given their third round of gene treatment. When the researchers from the Bern University gave the flies the gene, they noticed the insect's tissues became healthier and aged slower.
I'm going to stop for a second, because did you hear the way he worded that? Gene treatment? This is what precision medicine is going to be. We are going to be getting gene treatments.
Researchers believe that this could also work for human bodies.
They're showing
fruit flies to add a third copy of a gene called ASOT, and this made the animals, the flies, live 60% longer. I think it's likely that the very similar mechanism is taking place in our own bodies constantly, because you want to get rid of these cells that accumulate damage. So I'm very confident that the system, a very similar system, would work in our tissues in human bodies.
The Institute of Cell Biology at Bern University started the experiments last year and will soon begin experimenting on mammals. If the gene has the same effect in human bodies, the average life expectancy could become 120 years.
They're soon going to begin experimenting in mammals. Oh, people, I just every single day I shake my head and say, holy shit. I just dropped that into chat. Anybody wants that video? It's on Pigmine 2. Oh, by the way, I should mention that Pigmine 6 channel, youtube.com/Pigmine6, got a second strike. So all the newest uploads, this has probably been about a week or a week and a half now, have been moved over to Pigmine 2. That is a clean channel. If you want to get everything, go to pigmynews.com on the website. It all feeds out there. But just in case anyone ran across that and said, how come there haven't been any new videos uploaded in a week? I just dropped it into chat, though. That video is titled, New Gene Discovery Could Help Extend Life by 60%. And, you know, it didn't give a lot of details, so I actually dug around yesterday. I think this is the story, actually. I found a whole bunch of stories. Yeah, this is the story. A Daily Mail had a story on it back from the January 16th. Have scientists found the elixir of youth? Gene that destroys unhealthy cells is found to extend life of flies by more than 60%. Scientists have hit upon a new way of extending the lifespan of living organisms by activating a gene that destroys unhealthy cells. And you know, what frightens me about stuff like that is especially when they start discovering genes that destroy things. Who's to say that, you know, they couldn't set this to destroy other types of cells? Oh, yeah, here, we're going to give you the thing that makes you young. And then you find out that it makes you age twice as fast. Researchers at the University of Bern found that they were able to help flies live up to 60% longer by increasing the activity of a gene that targets damaged cells. This could be transferred to humans, and it could extend the lifespan of people in developed countries like the U.S. and the U.K. to beyond 120 years old. Yes, if you can pay for it. Again, we're going to look at the cost of precision medicine, which this exactly will be considered. The scientists found that a gene called Athuzolot or Azot acts like a sort of cellular quality control, helping to weed out unhealthy and malfunctioning cells. It is thought to help protect crucial organs like the brain or the gut from a buildup of potentially unhealthy cells. When the scientist gave fruit flies an extra copy of this gene, they found that the insect's tissues became healthier and aging slowed. Humans are known to have the Azot gene, opening up the possibility that it could be used to create a new anti-aging treatment. Now, what's interesting is the gut and the brain. Those are two things that we do know, that when your gut flora is gone, when you start to get a lot of plaques in the brain, I mean, take a look at some of the byproducts of not getting enough sleep. That's what they think sleep actually does for the brain, is helps get rid of all of the dead cells and the bad material that has accumulated, as well as helps you, you know, file memories. But there's a lot of research on that, and the lack of sleep can be causing a lot of aging issues. And when you don't sleep and you don't eat right, I mean, you age considerably quicker. Dr. Krista Reiner, a lecturer in cell biology at the University of Bern, who originally took part in the study, said, quote, our flies had median lifespans of 50 to 60% longer than normal flies. For centuries, humans have been seeking ways to extend their lives. In the Old Testament, Methuselah was said to have lived 969 years. Medieval knights went on quest for search of the Holy Grail, which was said to bestow powers of extending life. And alchemists also dedicated themselves to producing the elixir of life. Some scientists have speculated that the human lifespan could actually be extended up to 200 years. Currently, the oldest living person in the world is a Mexican woman who claims to be 127 years old, although she is not apparently given any evidence to support when she was born. However, this latest research in some ways is still some way from being tested in mammals. The scientists were able to extend the lifespan of fruit flies by genetically engineering them to have three copies of the AZOT gene. There are normally only two copies of this gene in each cell. And, you know, if you think back to a few months ago, there's a few things that I'm hearing in these stories. One was in the last one talking about the synthetic DNA. And remember, a few months back, there was a story that came out. We had proteins, enzymes, the CATG in DNA, and they had also added the X and Y and caused them to reproduce. So they had created the first quote-unquote alien life. Then there was a story that came out from RT that it said by the year 2025, I think she said, or was it 2050, that we'll have this new breed of human. Do you remember that one? And then also, the three cells. Remember, we had a story, this probably was about 6 months ago. Instead of using an X and Y cell, they had doubled it and had, I don't know if it was XXY or XYY, for using three, whether it was two eggs and a sperm or two sperms and an egg, it was to get around some sort of genetic defect. They were using three parents in a petri dish to create a child. I mean, this is just beyond Frankenstein science, guys. This is not right. This is, like I said yesterday, this is no longer the Isle of Dr. Moreau. This is the world of Dr. Moreau. And it does not appear that there really are any ethics going on. I mean, though the RNAi vaccines were put on hold for human testing until there was a quote-unquote emergency, look at how easily that emergency was created. Poof, we had Ebola in the United States. Poof, we found the tree with the fruit bats that were infected that infected three countries in Africa that caused this massive outbreak. So now we can begin testing on human beings. I actually want to find really quick longevity. I don't know if I can find this. I thought it was I know I had it at one point. It was a video. I had it on, maybe it's under Google. Google. I had it on my Before the First Cup page, but it's so far gone now that I'm not going to be able to find it in my scrolling. But here, maybe if I just search on YouTube. Maybe it was the Amazon dune. I thought it was Eric Schmidt. Oh, son of a mosquito. S-C-H-M-I-D-T. Well, come on. You know, maybe it actually was on one of the Pigmine channels that got hit. No, Eric Schmidt is of Google. That's what I thought. Longevity. Come on. He did a whole interview on the Longevity Project. Well, I'm going to have to give this one up too and save it until I have time offline to find the video. Longevity Project. With an hour, there isn't enough time to search stuff. There's nothing out there now. How is that even possible? Like, I literally, we played it. Maybe it was the interview. Interview immortality. Maybe that's what it was. Immortality and Google? Well, here's one that comes up. It wasn't from the Google guy, but it was from good old Michio Kaku, talking about uploading your consciousness and digital immortality. You do know that that is the end game, right? That is where Kurzweil, the head of engineering now at Google, the freakazoid from the singularity, the one who has spent his entire life wanting to upload himself to the machine, Kurzweil. That's what the plan is eventually. But I really want to hear Immortality Project. Now this is going to make me mad because there were two interviews, two sections of the same one, but I could have swore that it was Schmidt. Damn. I don't know. I'm going to have to make Pigmine find it. I can't find it. It's not showing up anywhere. Maybe it's on the archive somewhere. I'll have to search the drive. But anyway, there was a video about that. That is something that they are working on. And don't think for a minute that this is for our benefit. Again, like that woman said in Florida, we are the guinea pigs. And it's going to be you and me and our kids all being pricked with the shit to see what happens. And when you die, oh, well, because remember, like I talked about again as well yesterday, April Inverstein's interview with the Tales of a Drug Pusher. Collateral damage is already figured into the profit of the project. And when they release it, and I don't know, 100,000 people die, they already have that money put aside because the profit is too huge for them to stop it. And they could just pay you off and everybody will be happy. But I am like quickly running out of time now. I have 10 minutes. So we're not going to get into the longevity anymore. We're going to go to now the nanotech. Because this really, really, really bothers me. I've talked about it a whole bunch of times. Actually, one more thing. I never got to ending off my precision medicine here. So let's go there. This is the story I started right at the end of the show yesterday. So Obama talking about precision medicine and how it's going to be a great thing to have your electronic medical health records all open, HIPAA to be gone. The FDA, your doctor, geneticists, venture capitalists, public policy people, all working together for the benefit of humanity to make it a better place, to cure your ills. It says, the Human Genome Project, this is out of Forbes, has helped us identify the molecular causes of disease. Now we need to marry these efforts with chemists, pharmacologists, biophysicists, and physicians who can use this information to develop treatments and even cures for patients harboring these molecular defects. Yes. And you know what? We are all defects. I don't think there's any one of us that are born in this day and age with the pollution level and the bombardment with all the bullshit that we get that probably don't have genetic defects of some kind. Some of them are worse than others. Others make no difference at all. Others are only maybe one allele versus multiples, so they don't affect you unless you have children with someone who also has that same defect, like cystic fibrosis. But the fact that they want to be able to identify who has them, they want you to give up your information for the good of humanity to put in the database that they're going to then offer to these pharmaceutical and genomic companies for a monthly software as a service subscription fee to then come up with these cures that only rich people can afford should be very worrying to you. And I mean, if there was ever any evidence about us being the guinea pigs and the generation oneers, remember Microsoft software, generation one, you never wanted to put it on your computer because it was buggier than hell. That should be a red alert. It says, however, we as a society, that isn't that the beginning of the JFK speech? We as a society must come to terms with the fact that prices in the tens of thousands of dollars per year will become the norm, with certain drugs commanding six figures per year. These prices, while seemingly out of step with the formerly $4 generic drugs that you can get at a big box pharmacy, are in many cases quite reasonable when one considers the value that they provide to patients and the healthcare system. The debate over the prices of $84,000 drugs to treat hepatitis C often overlooks the value provided in simply abrogating the need for a liver transplant that runs upward of $500,000, not to mention all of the suffering that's alleviated. So what? Capitalist medicine? Is that what we're fucking talking about here? Supply and demand. If you can afford it, you can have it. That's the way it's going to be. As we just find out that 80 people in the world have the wealth of 3.5 billion now. So those 80 people are going to be the people that can afford $84,000 of treatment. If precision medicine is now becoming an initiative supported by the leader of our federal government, the costs of converting the intellectual capital to therapeutic modalities must also be taken into account and built into the healthcare system. And remember, Obama's dedicating tax dollars to precision medicine. Why am I financing some rich fuck getting his $84,000 drugs to treat his hep C? Because I don't think I want my tax dollars to go to that. On the other hand, is Obama going to decide with Obamacare that all the poor people get the $84,000 a pill medicine financed by the American taxpayer? I don't want to pay for that either. Why should the poor guy get the $84,000 pill and not me, who's actually paying for my health care? It's precision medicine bullshit. I got to tell you, it slipped by everybody. I have not heard anyone except for me. Have you? Talking about this from the State of the Union. They talked about all the other bullshit and about the militarization and about whatever. Obama's bullshit. This, I think, was the most important piece. This is like sucking the rest of the heart out of America and now making everything fucking legal for us to be used as guinea pigs right out in the open. Because it's going to make you healthy and safe, and it's for the good of the children. It's for the good of society for you to give up all your genetic information to put in that big electronic database that then can be used for genetic testing and looking at side effects and giving you new untested synthetic DNA drugs. Last paragraph. For precision medicine to have its greatest impact, federal and private health insurance companies have no option but to become comfortable with value-based drug pricing. So you think that after they spend all this money that they're going to give you these drugs at $4? And if they do, if they say line right up, we got the cure for cancer, it's going to be $4 a dose? Yeah, I'd be running the other direction. There's a cost to that. My economics teacher in 10th grade or 7th grade, Mr. Feinauer, I had him all those years ago, former military guy, used to scare the shit out of us when we weren't paying attention. It was late afternoon. It was hot in the room. He had this big metal yardstick, and he'd be doing economics, and we'd all be half asleep. And he'd walk up to the metal heating register, and he'd silence himself for a second, and he'd take that yardstick, and he'd go, boing! And we'd all just about shit ourselves. He always told us there's no free lunch. There is no free lunch. And what really worries me about this is with Obamacare being in bed now with the health insurance companies and Obamacare not being designated as a health care plan, which would have prevented them from passing bribes and butt slapping each other, slippery palms. And I mean, we know it still happens, but at least there would have been laws that they could have been convicted for, because it isn't a health care plan or considered as such. It's considered a tax, I believe. Bribes are legal. I'm telling you, this precision medicine initiative is a back scratch for something else. That's how they do things. Do me a favor, I'll do you a favor. Don't think, and we already looked into this, a lot of these congressmen and people in power are all invested in the stock market. Insider trading, I don't know if it is like traditionally actually 100% legal, but Congress voted on not having to report detailed analyses of their investments or where they make their money. And everyone just kind of looks the other way. Don't think that they don't have insider information, especially if they have to send things through the FDA, through another federal agency. Don't think that they don't have friends in high places tell them where to invest their money. That's why more than 50% of Congress are millionaires. Guys, it's a rich boys club. It always has been a rich boys club, but it is beyond a rich boys club now. It is a rich boys gonna suck the rest of biological life out of the planet club. And we all got our underground bunkers and they're working on the longevity project to make sure that we live forever. Not you and me, but they will. That's what the shit's all about. And it seems, again, we're not going to get to the biotech. This article is actually from Forbes. I was very proud of them for spewing some truth here. Titled, Obama's Precision Medicine Initiative, Paying for Precision Drugs is the Challenge. He's not actually calling out the Frankenstein medicine, but at least he is calling them out as to how the hell they're going to pay for it. And it's going to be you and me. It's going to be the taxpayer. I just don't understand. I don't understand how people are going to stand for this. And here's the end of the show. I'm going to play this one for you to show you how well our incursion into Africa went to help the Ebola patients. And they probably gave all those poor soldiers that went over there the untested Ebola vaccine. Check this out.
Some of this morning's headlines from around the globe. Washington Post says Ebola treatment centers in Liberia built by the United States are nearly empty. The disease in the West African nation drastically subsided before the first American centers were complete. In September, President Obama ordered 3,000 troops to the region to build the facilities. Several of the Ebola treatment units have not seen a single patient.
Now, all I got to say is there's the proof in the pudding. They sent 3,000 troops to build centers that some of them were never even used and they're all empty because, whoops, Ebola just went away mysteriously right after they got their testing now in humans. That's it. It's a proof, guys. All right, we are out of time. Make sure you stick around. Mr. Kevin Blanch is live up next, and it is Tuesday night, so there's great radio. Mr. Chuck O'Chelly at 6 p.m. Eastern. All Things Apocalyptic at 8. Primer Time is now on at 9 p.m. with Michael and Nick. Prepper Chicks After Dark at 10 p.m. and Anti-Media Radio with S.M. Gibson at 11. All right, guys, everyone have a happy Tuesday. Anyone in the snow, be careful. Catch you tomorrow.